popular demand.
The NBL One West Radio Show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome along, NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello and Ben Pether with you. Unfortunately, we've got to start off this week's show with some really sad news from the basketball world. Many people will have heard of Keith Dunlap. He sadly passed away on Sunday, the 15th of May, so just this weekend past. Keith, of course, born in California in the US and came out to Australia to play SBL for the Perry Lakes Hawks for many years. He was instrumental in many roles, sort of up to basketball WA board level. Certainly also served as a board member on the Perth Lynx board for a while as well. And although he was heavily involved with the history of the SBL, he was actually instrumental on our transition to the NBL One West as well. So very sad news coming out of basketball WA. If you'd like to read more about Keith Dunlap, BWA have given an official statement about his passing, and have also made him a life member a little bit earlier on this year as well, Ben. So some sad news for the basketball fraternity.
Yeah, and really sad to hear that, and our thoughts and our prayers go out to his family and friends, and our condolences, of course. And as we say, Basketball WA is an ecosystem, and it has lots of different people a part of it, and it's always sad to hear when one of our own passes.
Well, moving through, as Keith would want us to do, with basketball news from around the NBL One West, we've got some fantastic guests and some great insights coming up on this week's show, Ben.
Yeah, in particular, one of WA's very own, the newly crowned NBL champions, the Sydney Kings. We have Fleur McIntyre, their first assistant coach, to chat with us about her experiences and what it was like to coach under Chase Buford.
A couple of girls on the show this week. We've got Alex Chiabattoni joining us from the Southwest as well, of course.
Yeah, and it'd be great to hear her about how they're turning the tables down there in the Southwest. And as I've said last week, only just around the corner, their first win in NBL One West 2022.
And a guy who scored 29 points on the weekend in a big victory for the Perth Redbacks will be chatting with Jeremy Grace as well.
Yeah, excited to have that chat about season 2022, their rocky start. They're impacted by COVID, of course, and looking forward to being involved at the business end of 2022.
And the Ben Pether starting five this week takes a bit of a special theme.
Yeah, in particular, we're going to look at five bright young stars who are plying their trade in the NBL One West and have had great starts and had great weekends for their clubs.
We'll be back on the other side of this to take a look at all of your round six action from the NBL One West. And we're not far away from talking to Fleur McIntyre as well here on the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations.
2-0-1.
Feels so good. The all-new NBL One West radio show.
It's your favourite NBL One West players' favourite radio show. All of your local basketball action from around the associations here in WA. Brett Costello and Ben Pether with you, taking a look at some of the games of the round from round six. First with the men's, I think we've got.
Well, speaking of games of the round, we talked about it last week about two teams still sitting in our NBL One West men's draw without a win, and that was the Lakeside Lightning and the Southwest Slammers. Well, the Lakeside Lightning got their first win. I tipped them not to, but they got their first win on Friday night, May 13, at the Herb Grand Recreation Centre. 82 played 81. I said to you, Brett Costello, I said that Justin King would be the difference, and they wouldn't be anyone to stop him. Well, unfortunately, he just had no support. Justin King on that night, 38 minutes, he had 35 points. He had, in particular, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. He was almost a triple-double. But unfortunately, with the out, of course, of Fabian Johnson, and he just didn't have any other support, only one other player in double figures. And, well, for the Lakeside Lightning over the weekend, Donnie Vaughan, their new import, has touched down, landed here in Australia. He's ready to go. And they've got, they had Sebert Reese play for them. He had 16 points, 19 rebounds. And Lakeside Lightning, they did everything they could to lose. And if you saw down the stretch, they fouled. There was a 4-point play opportunity for the East Perth Eagles, but eventually they came away with it. And a big game from Big Benny Lee, the number one fan favorite down there at the Bribber Lake. He had 22 points, 5 of 8, off the bench for them.
The Lakeside Lightning just sneaking it in 1 point there, 82-81. There was also a similarly close game, equal level of excitement up there at Active West.
In particular, that's right, the Geraldton Buccaneers. We had Matt Wunderberg on the show a few weeks ago playing against the Rockingham Flames. Again, I tipped that Coach Ryan Petrick would have the scout that they would win, but the Geraldton Buccaneers have turned the Active West Stadium into a fortress. If anyone was able to catch this game on the live stream, what I recommend you do is go watch that last quarter. It was unbelievable, and they were led by the likes of Sean Stewart. He had 24 points, 2 rebounds, and 6 assists, and Cameron Coleman. He had 20 points, 2 rebounds, and 3 assists. But what I want to turn your attention to before we talk about the win, I want to talk about one. And I said last week, I've been writing this all down, Brett Costello, that Devondrick Walker would be the MVP of the NBL 1 West. Now, Cam Coleman came over from NBL 1 Central last season. He was the defensive player of the year. He was guarding Devondrick Walker. Devondrick Walker had 37 points on 24 shots. He had 6 rebounds, 3 steals, and an assist. And he was 7 of 14 from the 3-point line up until he had the game-winning shot, which he missed. So he just popped under 50%. But yeah, of course, they had him. There was plenty of tension there. There was a few tech fouls. The crowd was getting into it. Our NBL 1 West broadcasters were loving it. Greg High was drawing plenty of attention on the court and from the spectators. But it was the Geraldton Buccaneers who cemented their win, and they continue to go from strength to strength.
And what about the women's side of the draw too? There's a couple of great games there also.
Yeah, in particular, I want to turn my attention to the Friday night clash that happened at the home of basketball, Bendat Basketball Stadium, where there's a will, there's a way. And as Coach Parsons from the men's side of the draw, inaugural NBL 1 West Men's Champion, says, a win is a win. And right now, with the Williton Tigers, a win is a win. They just find a way to do things. And in particular, with Alex Sharp, she had 5 points up until three-quarter time. She was 1 of 12. And then in the fourth quarter, she took over. She had 4 of 6. But the thing I want to draw my attention to in particular was Coach Parker and his belief in his bench group. And during the third quarter, his team was losing. What did he do? He turned to 5 bench players. They brought him in. They turned the tables around, led by Sophie Doran and in particular Taylor Hepburn. Those two with the more experience in their bench came in, and then Katie Duncan hit a big time triple, and Sophie Maines played a little role as well. But he turned to his bench midway through that third quarter. He rested his bigs, and a special shout out to Des Kelly. She was just phenomenal throughout from start to finish. She continually contributed. She had 15 points, 7 rebounds, and in particular, 7 steals. So, but yeah, commiserations for the Perry Lakes Hawks. They were tough for 3 quarters, led by Emma Clark and Mia Sadie. And I liked Sarah Loomis's game as well, Brett.
She got plenty of blocks in that game. I really loved her defense.
Yeah, she did. She had 6 blocks. So, she was really big in that first half. And again, Craig Mansfield taking over that helm, just trying to get that right mix. And but we saw the depth of the Williton Tigers come through, and they are looking hard to stop in season 2022.
Well, I'll let you get your breath after that one, but we're almost ready to go with a Ben Feather starting 5 for this round. Now, that special flavor that you bring into this one is it's the young guns of the NBL 1 West.
I was thinking about it over the weekend. We called the Perry Lakes game, should I say, and the Williton Tigers. I was thinking about the weekend. We're going to go with the 5 best young, bright talents that we can look out for in season 2022. And we're going to start in the Goldfields. Gemma Gaddy, right now she's averaging 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 5 assists. In her last 2 games, she's had 15 points and 9 rebounds and 15 points. And in particular, against the Rockingham Flames, she had 15, 9, and 10 assists. What I love about the Gemma Gaddy story was she played for them in the NBL 1 D-League Grand Final last year for the Goldfields Giants. She's turning 22 this season, and she gets to represent the Goldfields Giants now that they have a women's team. Number 2, Chloe Forster. She's come back from WA duties, and she is a force to be reckoned with in season 22. She's playing for the Warwick Senators. She's had increased minutes opportunities. She's averaging just under 21 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists. Her first game of season 2022, she had 29 points and 6 rebounds and 4 assists. And last weekend against On the Road, which is always tough up there in the Goldfields, she had 22 points, 7 rebounds and 5 assists. Leading into our, speaking of people who've been on a WA duty, Mia Jacobs from the Lakeside Lightning, number 3. She's had 15 points, 10 rebounds and 3 assists, going up just under 40% from the field. And she had a massive game last week against the East Perth Eagles. 21 points, 14 rebounds. She's got 2 assists. twin sisters, who've of course played for the Lakeside Lightning, who are now in the NCAA collegiate system. Mia Jacobs, involved with the Perth Lynx as a DP, and now she's playing a trade here in the NBL One West. We're going to flip over to the men's side of the conference. Number four, he hit the game winner up at Active West Stadium, and that is none other than from the Geraldton Buccaneers, Johnny Knuckle. He's had a slower start to the game, but when it really mattered, the bright lights were on. He had 16 points, 14 rebounds in 27 minutes against the Rockingham Flames, Johnny Knuckle. And it's fantastic. We had Matty Wunderberg on the show, but they're always looking for that supporting cast. They bring in their two imports. They've got some strong locals, but that young supporting cast off the bench, Johnny Knuckle, he's in for a fantastic season. And then the last but not least, standing at number five, the man in the middle, from the Willerton Tigers, the Boulevard. He's turned 18 already. He's only 18 years of age. I called him a young Clint Reed on the call earlier last Friday night. He played against the Perry Lakes Hawks. He had 16 points, 5 rebounds. He led the scoring for the Willerton Tigers. It's none other than Thomas Jerovich. He's won a gold medal representing WA, and I can only see his minutes extended here in season 2022.
Ben, I just hope that the listeners out there can feel your passion as much as we can here in the studio. Thank you so much for your input. This week's starting five, courtesy of Ben Pether. We'll be back after this to speak with Fleur McIntyre here on the NBL One West Radio Show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
Let's get this thing started. The SKG Radiology official NBL One West Radio Show.
It is the NBL One West Radio Show. Brett Costello, Ben Pether with you. And on the line now, I'd like to say we've got a friend of the show, someone originally from Western Australia, a life member down there of the Coburn Cougars, of course. More recently, and perhaps more famously, assistant coach of the Sydney Kings. Welcome along, Fleur McIntyre.
Thanks so much, guys. Happy to be on.
Well, excellent. And we're very pleased, of course, to have you on. We did speak with you last season before you headed over to Sydney. You were battling with COVID and getting ready to embark on this new chapter. And it's, of course, finished in the best possible way.
Yeah, it's been amazing. It was certainly very tough. I think everyone sort of sees the conclusion and thinks it's all, you know, sunshine and light and the championship. But it was really tough. You know, it was a COVID interrupted season. It got delayed. We started last August. It was, you know, we've been gone for almost, you know, 10, 11 months now. So it's been exhausting. It's been tiring, but well worth it when you walk out as the champions of the NBL.
You told us the story last season about how you were sort of tapped on the shoulder by Luke Longley to apply for the position. How much did you have to do with him during the year? And tell us a little bit of your journey.
Look, I had a lot to do with Luke during the year. He plays a very active role as a consultant for the Kings and comes over, you know, when he can, when the borders opened. He's been over more frequently at the back half of the season. And, you know, I speak to Luke once or twice a week. And when he's here, we sort of catch up. We go do dinner and have coffee. And he's a fantastic sounding board, not only for myself, but the entire coaching staff and Chase and our players. He sort of meets with everyone and makes sure that everything's going smoothly and if there's things that need to be addressed or talk through, he's sort of a voice and an ear for all of us. So he's been an amazing support. And, yeah, I couldn't have sort of got through this entire year, I think, without him sort of looking over and helping. And he's pretty wise and he's been there and done that for a lot of things. So he was really helpful.
Fleur McIntyre, Ben Pether here. Chase Buford, the head coach, of course, your first season working under him. The point of difference with Chase, obviously you would have learned many things and experienced different coaches previously that you worked with, played under. But for Chase, coming from that the US system, being involved obviously at collegiate and in the NBA and the G League, what was the point of difference that you noticed early on about Chase and how he operated?
Hi, Ben. How are you? Yeah. Thanks for the question. He has the most incredible basketball IQ in terms of how quickly he sees things during the game. So that's probably the really big thing that I noticed about Chase. I learned a lot from him early in the preseason, watching some of our individual sessions and how he'd run individual sessions and approaching how he wanted our style of play adopted in those individual sessions. So that was really helpful for me. But his basketball IQ and instincts and how he sees things is off the charts. And I think probably people don't realise that a lot of the time. You know, a lot of the narrative was around how talented we were. And we were, you know, we had great depth. But take nothing away from Chase. His instincts and his read of the play and how quickly he goes through things and sees things. I was absolutely blown away. That was probably the biggest thing I saw, Ben, across the season.
And, of course, one of your other assistants, Kevin Lish, known to many over here in the Perth, working with him as part of that coaching group. He's now made that transition to the coaching from, obviously, a very successful playing career. What did you see about his growth and working along with him throughout season 2022?
Kev is the greatest. We formed such an amazing friendship, and he was just someone I think that I could rely on. We bounced ideas off each other a lot. We're very similar in a lot of ways in the way that we see things. I think we're both quite calm in the way we approach things, and I probably get a little bit more fired up than him at times, so he's good for me. I really enjoyed learning off him and Daniel Kickett, to be honest, who was also on coaching staff, in that Kev worked a lot with our point guards, and so when him and I be taking workouts with our guards, I really enjoy seeing Kev's take on things and him conveying messages about things that they should do. And the same with Kicks, you know. Kicks a former elite Australian big man and has done it all across the world and in the NBL. So it was really useful for me watching these guys work with players in their positions and how they approached it and their sort of teaching cues and what they were sort of looking at. So learnt a lot off the pair of them this season. Was very grateful to work alongside them.
You're hearing the voice of Fleur McIntyre. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back on the other side of this to speak with her further.
The SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show. The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, Fleur McIntyre. It is the NBL One West radio show. Fleur spent the 2022 season as the assistant coach for the Sydney Kings. I remember a portion of the way through the season, Fleur, that the Kings had lost by about 40 points, and some people may have been quick to write them off. But I think it wasn't long after that that you went on an amazing sort of 10-game winning streak. It obviously culminated in this championship, which has been well-publicised up to now. Talk us through that sort of turnaround and what was able to lead into that change in fortune.
Yeah, the Melbourne game was a very dark game for us at John Cain Arena. I remember that their entire crowd stands up until the opposition team scores, and I was just thinking to myself, you couldn't hear a thing. It was 26-0, and I'm thinking to myself, please, for the love of God, can we just score?
Just a foul shot.
So we can possibly do something. Yeah, like, it was honestly, it was one of those things where it just keeps coming at you, and you're trying everything you can to pull these guys out of it. It was just one of those games, I think. And, you know, we were missing players, and we had guys in injuries, and that was DJ's first game back from his Achilles, and so there was a few pieces to the puzzle, and we weren't very good at all. They were fantastic that game, and I think we just needed to get all our pieces back. And there were some obviously dark times after that. We were 3-6, and we were capitulating a little bit in the fourth quarter, which was very tough. But I think once we got everyone back, and with Jalen Adams leading the charge, I think all our pieces fit together. And the final piece of the puzzle was really getting Ian Clark. When RJ Hunter went down, and we were able to get a quality player in Ian Clark, but if you know Ian Clark, he is just the best human being. I cannot tell you how amazing it was to have him in this group. He was such a phenomenal leader. He's a flat-out white line competitor. So every single day, these guys just went at it at training. And for me, I think bringing that in, it just all the pieces just begun to fit. You know, we had the talent and we had the depth, but what people didn't talk about, what people probably didn't see unless you were there, with the absolute toughness of this group day in, day out. And I got to see it every single day. And I think we always knew we were there and we could be good enough. But it was just getting everyone healthy and having everything fall into place. You do need a little bit of luck, I think, to win the championship as you're going forward. And it all came together at the right time.
You talk about the day-to-day and the toughness. And what I love about your journey, Fleur, is that you've seen, you've coached at the Wobble, the state and the national rep carnivals. You've coached SBL, the WNBL and the NBL now. And there's a, especially with kids in Australia, they're really keen and see the bright lights of the NCAA collegiate system, and they sometimes have positive and negative experiences. Now being involved with the Sydney Kings and the NBL and the development players that you have, what do you see as such the valuable experience in them necessarily not going to college, but jumping on board with an NBL team and doing that 8-9 month period with that team and that day-to-day grind of seeing pros?
I think the biggest thing that I would say is, and that they get to expose themselves to every day, is you're playing against grown men. Like, and it's so, the biggest thing I noticed when I walked into preseason and the first session, all I was thinking was, oh my goodness, this is so quick, it is so physical, and these guys are so powerful. And that was even without at imports being in the gym yet. You know, Jarrell Martin and those sort of guys. But that was the biggest thing that I noticed. So I think that if you're that young player and you want to be exposed to that, the NBL is also really physical. It's a really physical league. You know, I haven't been over at college, so I can't compare it to that. But I'm telling you, like, watching these guys guard each other every day and then watching the games, obviously, with the best seats in the house, courtside, it's a really physical league. You have to be able to play through contact. You have to be able to handle and finish through physicality. So I think for young players that want to develop that and test themselves amongst that sort of competition, it's a really, really good pathway for them. The other thing is, as well, you're also having to learn patience. We've got some talented young guys who have been standouts in juniors, obviously. They've been really dominant junior players, and it's hard for them. You go from being a star, and the juniors is a completely different game. You've got the ball in your hand 90% of the time, and you know, now you're playing behind three imports and, you know, the best Australian in the league, hands down, which is Xavier Cooks. And, you know, it's hard for you mentally to know that, well, I've got to bide my time here. I've got to soak it all in, go up against these guys every single day, see if I can guard them. But knowing that the expectations, it's going to be hard for you to break in and get on court, particularly in a really good team like the Sydney Kings. So there's a lot of benefits there, but it will test young players as well. And I think that test will hold them in really good stead for the rest of their careers going forward.
Fleur, I'm going to give you this question because if I was listening in at home, this is what I would want to know about. What does a Sydney Kings championship celebration look like? What does that actually entail? What did everyone get up to? Without giving away too many trade secrets, but what was the general vibe?
Well, it went for about 4 days. So I quickly realised that I'm far too old to be partying with my guys anymore, although I did give it a crack, I'll be honest. The first night was a blur. Like, everyone's at Kudos. We were allowed family and friends in the locker room, so that was unreal. And then we went sort of, the guys had to go, like, to the ballroom and see the fans, and then they came back. And we went, again, it was just sort of players and staff and all families and friends and members until the wee hours at Kudos, and then we went out after that. So that night ended, I mean, it was a Wednesday night in Sydney, so there wasn't a lot of places to go, to be honest. But so that ended in the wee hours. But my favourite day was the day after, where it was just, we'd booked a place in Coogee over in the eastern Sydney, and it was just the players, the coaching staff and the front office and the support staff. And it was amazing. Like, we just did lunch and obviously a few more drinks there and kicked on after that. But because afterwards it's so manic and everyone is everywhere and everyone wants to talk to you, which is great, but you just don't get to sit around with the guys that you've been in it with the entire year. So that was really special on that Thursday, and I think we all talked about and reflected how nice that was. Friday, I actually went to dinner with Luke Longley and Paul Kind, one of our owners, and we went out sort of that night, so that was really nice. Saturday, we had, like, the parade down at the harbour in front of the Opera House and the presentations, and, you know, the boys sat in line for, like, 2 hours signing autographs and, you know, mingling with the fans, so that was really nice. And then that night, we actually went to the Swans game. We were in a corporate box for the Sydney Swans. They hosted us, and then again, the celebrations kicked on after that. Our imports have just recently left. So, yeah, it's been a big few days. I certainly had to reel it in when I realised going to some of these places that I'm officially old and, yeah, I'm not 25 anymore. So just needed to remind myself that 2-3 days into these celebrations. So there you go. Hopefully that gives you a little bit of insight.
It certainly does. It certainly sounds like quite the whirlwind as well. Well, what does the future hold for you now then with the Kings? What sort of deal did you go on over there, and how long are you expecting to potentially be there?
So I'm contracted for next season. So the Kings were really lovely when I first signed this contract. They said, we don't want you to move to Sydney just for one season. So I was on a 2-year deal. So I will be here for next season. We launch into free agency this week. So there's a lot of discussions involved, obviously trying to assemble a roster again and make sure, you know, what we're spending. And hopefully we can bring a few of our guys back from this championship winning team. So there's a lot of discussions around that and what our roster is going to look like next season. I am hoping to go home to Perth sooner rather than later. So the Kings have said, absolutely go. You know, I was away from my family for 10, 11 months. I was able to see them briefly when we played the Wildcats, but I can't wait to come back to Perth, to be honest. And I'll be there for a good, hopefully, month, 5-6 weeks, if I can squeeze it before coming back from pre-season starting in August.
Before we let you go and get some sleep, then, we are obviously the NBL One West radio show. So have you had your chance to cast your eyes over the west side at all and keep tabs on what's happening with some of your old mates on this side of the country?
I have. When I can, sort of tune in, see if I can catch some of the games. It was like I was sort of tuning in, like, to the live stream. I obviously, you know, being a Coburn girl, I try and watch the Coburn games as much as possible. So I've seen a few of their games this year, and hopefully I'll get to see a little bit more. But the league's looking really strong. Like, I think that, it's obviously in a really good position. I've followed a lot of the men's games sort of going on, and you know, everyone's been really lovely. Actually, I've had so many messages from across the NBL One when we won it. So looking forward to coming back and hopefully catching a couple of games in person. I'm not sure if I'll be there every week. I have done a lot of basketball in the last 10 months, but I have been casting an eye on the NBL One from over in Sydney.
Well, thank you so much once again for your time, Fleur. Always lovely to hear how you're coming along, and it certainly sounds like 2022 has been one for the record books for you.
Thanks so much, Brett and Ben. I really appreciate it.
The voice of Fleur McIntyre there, current assistant coach at the Sydney Kings. You're on the NBL One West radio show.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
It's the NBL One West radio show as we look towards round 7 this weekend. First of all, taking a bit of a check of what's happening in the men's. Friday night, the Senators will host the Perry Lakes Hawks. I know you'll be on the call for that one because it is the KO game of the round, available on the KO freebies.
Yep, and I think the Warwick Senators will take care of business.
The Willerton Tigers host the Lakeside Lightning, also on the Friday night.
Willerton.
As we head to Saturday, who have you got for the East Perth Eagles hosting the Slammers in the men?
I think the East Perth Eagles.
Eastern Suns looking for their second win of the season to host the Warwick Senators.
I think the Senators will win the back-to-back.
The Geraldton Buccaneers yet to be defeated. They're hosting the Mandurah Magic.
I think this is the game of the round, Brett, and I think that we've got some tough matchups that we can look forward to in that particular. Coleman picking up Bowie, that'll be a really good matchup. And then we're obviously looking forward to Wunderburg guarding Ray Turner. So, yeah, looking forward to that matchup. I think at Active West, to keep the win streak alive, Geraldton Buccaneers.
I'm going to go with them too. And the Goldfields Giants also looks to be another great game, hosting the Joondalup Wolves up there at Niels Hansen.
The toughest trip in basketball, but I think the Joondalup Wolves can get it done.
Perry Lakes Hawks backing up with their second game of the weekend, hosting the Perth Redbacks.
I think the Perry Lakes Hawks to split their doubleheader and beat the Perth Redbacks on their home floor.
And finally, to round out the weekend, the Flames will be hosting the Coburn Cougars.
Yeah, and I think that'd be a really tough matchup. Tavondrick Walker, but I think the Cougars, it'll be interesting to see plenty of headaches for Coach Cooper to see who gets that matchup, and I think the Flames take care of business there.
More details on all of those fixtures available at nbl1.com.au. And if you're not getting around your association to have a look, you can, of course, stream all of those games online. We've still got our chat with Jeremy Grace to come before too long. And after the break, we'll speak to Alex Chiabattoni from the Southwest Slammers.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Let's get this thing started.
The all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back, Brett and Ben with you on the NBL One West radio show. We're pleased to be joined on the line this time by Alex Chiabattoni. You probably know her as a Perth Lynx player, but very active also in the NBL One West, of course. Welcome along to the show.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, a bit of a change for you this season. You've headed down into the Southwest. Tell us a little bit more about your role down there and sort of how it's all come about.
Yeah, so I was fortunate enough to get a job down here as running the development for the Slammers through BWA and the Southwest Slammers. So I've kind of stepped up more in a coaching capacity and trying to help develop, you know, the next upcoming talent in the Southwest.
Ben Pether here, Alex Chiabattoni. So you've taken on board this idea of this development role in partnership with the Basketball WA and Southwest Slammers, and they have a huge catchment area, the sort of the Great Southern all the way through the Southwest for our NBL One potential players. What does that role look like for you day to day, and what are sort of the long-term growth opportunities for the Southwest Slammers?
So at the moment, it involves me being down here probably 3 days a week, just running sessions, just trying to I guess, give the kids a bit more exposure to a bit different. You know, I think it's tough for a lot of them being down in the southwest. It's obviously such a big region with, you know, they have 7,500 members down here. And I don't think that often enough, like, there's people getting down, different people, different athletes, coaches getting down here and, like, putting enough work into this area and offering development and just coaching sessions. And I think that's, like, been the biggest thing for me right now is just seeing how many kids are just, like, so keen to learn and buy in. It's honestly crazy. It's really rewarding. So, yeah, just down here 3 days a week doing full-time, like, the admin side from home. So they've been super flexible as well. And just really trying to push, like, the development pathway to try and keep some of these kids, you know, keep them in Wobble, keep them playing, get more kids into Wobble from, you know, the regions, reach out into the associations and all that. And hopefully, you know, when we get to NBL One in the future, they have all their local players wanting to come back and play, just having great memories down here and wanting to hang around.
And, of course, you've come on board with the NBL One West team, the Southwest Slammers, who had an interrupted start to the season, is that probably best way to put it, that a new young group, there was no imports or restricted players, there was a changing coach, and now they have their import in Tylan Carter has come on board, and she's been fantastic, and you've come on board as well. And we chatted off air about this, seeing your focus of this season looking different than just your stat line or how you're playing, but giving back to that young talent and then supporting them. How does this season look like for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this season for me is more about just trying to help the young ones develop, provide a bit of leadership on court. You know, I think they definitely have talent, and especially for their age, I think they have so much potential to be good. It's just they need that bit of leadership, a bit of an older head to kind of help them. You know, so even with Tylan, like, they can get her the ball in the last few seconds of the shot clock and know she's going to create, rather than, you know, having someone who's still in under-18s with all that pressure and all the weight on their shoulders. So I think even just be able to provide that bit of, like, relief for them on court should free them up. And as you can see, you know, by our scores, obviously June's up, we're too good for us, but, like, we're way more competitive, and, like, I think that's going to be the biggest thing. If these girls can see that they can win, I think we'll become a threat through the year, and that's just exciting in itself.
And, of course, yeah, you do mention there about becoming competitive and being a threat, and I said last week, I saw Tylan Carter play against Willetta Tigers, and I think that your first win is just around the corner. With that young group, how do we set... what do those little wins look like and those little goals without taking the whole focus just on the scoreboard?
Well, I guess for us it's like, you know, if you look at our stats from round one, you know, they had 44 turnovers. And even though we lost this weekend, we had 14. So, like, that itself is just a huge improvement. You know, if teams are going to beat us, it's going to be in the half court. It's not going to be because we're giving them layups. You know, some of the girls, like, stepped up and, you know, instead of panicking when they bring the ball up the court, they're taking it at them now. And it's just those little things that, like, for us that we're like, hold on, like, that's great. You know, if you can keep doing this and you can keep building on that, like, that's where we're going to be. You know, next year, if you guys come back, we're all going to be in, like, a better position just from having that, you know, that experience under us. Whereas in the past, I feel like they never got that opportunity to have people around them to learn from or to help them out and just see those little things. You know, when you're losing, if you're losing by 60 every week, it's hard to find little positives.
The East Perth Eagles suffered a loss in round six against the Lakeside Lightning. I see you've got them this forthcoming weekend. How do you fancy your chances there?
I think that they are a good side, and clearly they can score. So I think the biggest, if we can lock down on defense and, you know, make and not let them get the shots that they want to get, I think we have a good chance. And that just comes back to that maturity. You know, can we do the scout? Can we follow what we've been told to do? Can we shut down their shooters? And I think that will be the biggest thing for us. I think our offense will come naturally. It will just be that the defensive presence. And if we can do that, I think we're in for a good shot.
And my final question, Alex, thanks for joining us, of course, is that for you now in this, do you see that part of your role being involved with Basketball WA and playing for the NBL One West, is that opportunity for those young players to also see you playing?
Yeah, I agree. And, like, sometimes, you know, as a player, I kind of forget about that side a little bit. And then I think after the first game, all the under-12s are there. And they're all like, oh, my gosh, you know, they didn't know who I was. You know, they'd never seen me play for Lynx or anything. And that was their first experience. And then, you know, after that, I was like, okay, this is why I'm playing. Like, just to, you know, in the Southwest, as I said, like, they don't always get the, like, any, you know, any Lynx players down there or any Wildcats players down there. So I think, you know, for them, obviously, like getting to see that. You know, I have little girls come up to me telling they're going to be better than me when they're older and they're going to play for Lynx. And I'm like, good, like that's what I want, you know, that's what I'm hoping, that's what I'm there for, you know, even if one of those kids makes it or goes further away, you know, that's going to be huge.
Alex Chiabattoni of the Perth Lynx and also the Southwest Slammers in season 2022 as well. Thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate you getting involved with the NBL One West radio show.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. It was fun.
All right. Glad you enjoyed it and hope you'll listen in.
Absolutely.
Thanks again.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
The all new NBL One West radio show.
It's the NBL One West radio show. Brett and Ben back with you. And this time on the line, we're joined by one of the NBL One West superstars from the Perth Redbacks. It's Jeremy Grace. Welcome to the show.
Yo, what's going on?
We know we had to get you on after a big result on the weekend, getting a great win and plenty of points under your belt, 29 points. How have things been going in the Redbacks camp following that win?
Oh, yeah, following the win has been great. It was great just to get a win. We're coming off a loss, so we had one thing in mind, to go get the win, and made it happen.
How did it actually end up that you arrived at the Redbacks? Because we do know there's a bit of connection with CJ and the Jackson family, and I understand you may have played some of your junior basketball with Tevin back in the day as well?
Yeah, me and Tevin played together growing up. Tevin, I've known Tevin as long as I can remember, so we grew up playing together, relishing domestic travel, Coburn. Won the championship with Coburn, funny enough, under 14. But yeah, it's been great coming over here with those guys. Jeremy's like a brother than me, CJ's like my uncle, so it's been great.
Jeremy Grace, Ben Pether here. Just in regards to your season, you've got 19 points, 3-3, shooting at just under 50 from the field. What have you enjoyed about being part of this new roster at the Perth Redbacks and playing with the likes of Zach Katorna, Louis Timms, and Tevin Jackson?
Oh yeah, it's been great. You know, I've loved playing with these guys. Very professional. We all have the same thing in mind: going to get as many wins as we can, going to win the game. We like playing together. It's been great so far.
And we've seen you play obviously at the point guard position and playing at the off guard, more of a scoring guard. Playing with the Hall of Famer, soon to be Hall of Famer, I believe, Joel Wagner. And how are you guys getting that mix right now with getting the ball in your hands and getting the ball in his as well?
I mean, it's not hard. We're both very unselfish. We defer to each other a lot, so we really don't mind who brings it up or who has it in their hand. We just want to make the right play. It's been fun playing with him, though, just knowing that there's somebody else on the court I can trust. He's going to make the right play, you know, find me when I'm open. So he's been making the game easy for me, and I just try and return the favor when I can.
Looks like you've got the Perry Lakes Hawks on Saturday night. You're heading there to Bendat. I'm sure CJ's always keen to get a win going in there to Bendat, having spent quite a bit of time at the Perry Lakes Hawks. What's your expectations from Saturday night?
Yeah, we're just focused on getting a win. We'll be ready to get a win against Perry Lakes. But yeah, like you said, I know CJ spent time over there. They beat us. They beat me last year. I know it'd be great just to get a win for the whole team. We just want to get it going.
And, of course, for your own, you've had a great start to the season. Looking at it from your perspective, what are you looking to continue to build on throughout this season 2022 campaign?
Just the chemistry with my teammates. You know, it's hard. It's been hard. A lot of guys have been out with sicknesses, or with Zach's case coming in from Adelaide this year. So we haven't had very many practices at all. We haven't had everybody at practice. So just building chemistry. Building with these guys, trying to make it a great team. I'm still here strong.
And do you think you're pretty settled in Western Australia? Your basketball has taken you to all sorts of corners so far, and obviously you've got a strong connection with WA, but is it your plan to be here longer term?
Yeah, definitely. I like it out here. I love it out here. You know, I was born here. I lived here probably half my life, so it feels like home to me. So it's like I got two homes, back home in Dallas and then out here as well. So, yeah, I'm here as long as I need to be.
Well, Jeremy Grace, good luck on the weekend against the Perry Lakes Hawks. That one's at Bendat Basketball Centre, 8 p.m. tip-off. And thanks very much for getting involved with the NBL One West Radio Show.
All right, thank you. Thank you, guys.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic.
Welcome back and bringing things to a close once again on the NBL One West radio show. Ben, some fantastic chats this week and some good insights.
Yeah, it was fantastic to hear in particular from Fleur McIntyre, who's really been, from start to finish, the basketball pathway here. She started as a junior at the Coburn Cougars. She made it all the way up to play for the Perth Lynx. Now to see what she's doing on the other side of the country in the NBL as an assistant coach and to win the championship, it's a great story.
Hopefully you can get around some of the associations and check out some live NBL One West basketball. Don't forget to get all of the fixture details at nbl1.com.au. And of course, you can also check out the NBL One West on the socials as well. Now, you're heavily involved with a lot of the live streaming. There's, of course, that game on the KO Freebies as well this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll be doing that from Warwick Basketball Stadium. We'll take on the Red Hot Warwick Senators, and they'll be playing the Perry Lakes Hawks.
Now, some people might be scared about KO because do you have to give your credit card and all that type of thing, but I understand with the KO Freebies, you don't have to have any significant sign-ups or anything. You can just access the content.
It's as easy as online shopping. Click and go.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And you can, of course, check out all of the games streamed live through the NBL One website or through the NBL app as well. Don't forget, you can check out the NBL One West radio show on all of your usual podcast providers, the likes of Podomatic, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. They are all there. Just search for NBL One West radio show. Thanks once again for joining us, Ben.
Yeah, appreciate it, Brett. Looking forward to an exciting NBL One West Round 7.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.